い。Listening to CITR FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. And it's time right now for the Nardwuar, the Human Serviette Radio Show. And who do we have on the line right now? Hello, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Who are you?
Who am I? My name is Albert Nuremberg. I guess I'm a filmmaker. And we have a film opening tonight, actually, in Vancouver called Stupidity.
At the Van East Cinema.
Yeah, the prestigious Van East Cinema.
And Albert, you are a Canadian, aren't you?
Yes. I'm very Canadian.
From Montreal, Quebec, right?
Originally, yes. I live in Toronto right now, which I'm slightly ashamed of, but I am from Montreal originally.
But you're vacationing here in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
That's right. Well, I'm actually up in Powell River right now, which is slightly different than Vancouver, but yeah.
Powell River, home of ex-Vancouver Canuck Gary Lupul.
I didn't know that.
And where you can spell his name the same forwards and the same backwards.
Gary, that must be very convenient for him.
Gary Lupul. And, of course, when he played, everybody thought they were booing when they said his name, like, Lou. But actually, they're just going, Lupul. Actually, right off the bat, Albert, are you doing a documentary on the Courtneau brothers, the hockey-playing Courtneau brothers?
No, but I thought about it recently. You know, I'm sure people, your listeners know more about this, but I was shocked. I was in Egmont recently. And I don't know if you know, but there's a huge clear cut, like a giant clear cut right across the river from the city that is put up by the Courtneau brothers.
Yeah, they're developing some huge lodge up there, aren't they?
Yeah, but they just ripped all the trees off this entire mountain, and it ruined the view for the entire town. and for the community that goes to the I don't know the name, but the famous set of rapids that everyone goes to.
I think it's Egmont or something like that.
That's it. Yeah. Anyway, the Cordonneau brothers, like these Canadian heroes, are destroying Canada, as far as I can tell, right across the river from this pristine kind of tourist village.
From your opinion, in your
opinion. This, of course, is only my personal opinion, because other people might argue that them tearing all the trees off the mountain might be beautifying Canada. So it's obviously a matter of perspective.
And you are Albert Nürnberg, producer, writer, director. You did everything basically for this movie, Stupidity, didn't you?
Well, no. There's producers, there were writers. I originated the idea and I guess directed it. But there's a whole bunch of people involved in a company called Trailer Vision. Which is also doing another documentary which really deals a lot with Vancouver called Escape to Canada, which is coming out soon.
And Albert, back to the Cordonneau brothers, I think it would be an interesting documentary because they had a restaurant in Vancouver, because remember there were two Cordonneau brothers, you know,
right.
The Cordonneau brothers, well actually that's what you said, they had a restaurant in Vancouver that failed, and then Jeff Cordonneau and Russ Cordonneau, they both played on the Canucks at the same time, and Jeff Cordonneau was dirty, like he protected his brother.
They're an interesting pair, and I gotta say, when I was in Montreal, and I guess it was Russ Cordonneau played for the Montreal Canadiens, I thought the guy was fantastic. Though a little uptight, maybe. But anyways, what's shocking, apparently, according to residents nearby, is that these guys bought this whole mountain and that they could have been tearing the trees, you know, off the, you know, other parts of the mountain, but they did it in such a vicious and aggressive way. It was really kind of a fuck you to the population, the local population.
However, when Russ Cordonneau played one of his last games in Vancouver, British Columbia, and Canada, in fact, I think his last game ever, him and Isa Tikkanen were traded. They were traded, and they played a game with the Canucks knowing that they were traded. Isn't that amazing? Like, they knew they were traded, but they still played the game for the Canucks. How about that? Cordonneau brothers coming through.
Yeah, well, see, this is the thing, is they really are Canadian national heroes, so I found it really shocking that they had done this. This is something that really amazed me.
And does it classify as stupidity? What is stupidity exactly? Because this movie is opening tonight at the Vanny Cinema, and we're speaking here to Albert Nürnberg. Is that how you pronounce your name, Nürnberg?
Yeah, that's how you pronounce it.
As in the Nürnberg Trials, the same
Close.
Sort of thing?
Yeah, that's pretty well it.
Well, Albert Nürnberg Trials, your film opens tonight at the Van East Cinema. That's 9:15 p.m., and it runs every night from 9:15 p.m., every night until September 2nd, and we're going to have some rewards for listeners that hang on to this conversation. But is that stupidity, what the Cordonneaus are doing? Like, what is stupidity, Albert?
I think that, you know, it's funny that you asked that, because I think it's a good example of short-term stupidity, meaning from their point of view, they're probably thinking, hey, I can make a lot of money very quickly, so you've got short-term gain, but you know, they're not looking at the long-term disaster of destroying mountains and destroying the tourism industry in that area. So you have a great example of kind of intellectual stupidity, which is that these guys that they're not imbeciles, meaning they're not people that go and do something and then cause a disaster. They actually think their way through, and they just think, oh, we'll make more money if we do this. But they're not looking at the long-term implications, which are disastrous.
Also, their own reputation. I mean, like you said, they're Canadian legends.
Yeah.
The Cordonneau brothers, and they're bringing down their legend. They're bringing down their legend.
Yeah, I really found it shocking. But you know, to answer your question, stupidity, what this film is about is that actually nobody really knows what stupidity is. The starting point of the film was that in all human history, there are only 7 academic texts written on the subject of stupidity. It's an unknown. When it comes to stupidity, you could say that we're huge ignoramuses. We don't know anything about it. And that was a departure for this film. And then we discovered, you know, part of the theory of the film is that we live in a culture of willful stupidity, which is that people are much stupider, and they act much stupider than they actually are, and they do this to succeed.
And you're Albert Nürnberg of the main organization revealing obnoxious numbskulls.
Obvious numbskulls, actually.
Obvious obnoxious numbskulls.
Yes.
Right off the bat, what's that? What is the main organization revealing obvious numbskulls?
Well, this is a totally different outfit, which is that our company, we also run something called the World Stupidity Awards that take place every year at the Just for Laughs Festival. And they call it the Oscars of Idiocy, and we give awards for accomplishment in stupidity. So there's an award given to the stupidest person of the year, the stupidest statement, the stupidest act, the stupidest movie. And so it's an award show for stupidity. And last year, when we did it, we had huge guests. There was Lewis Black, who's from The Daily Show, was the host. Sinbad was there. Scott Thompson was
there. Wait a second. Sinbad was there.
Yeah, Sinbad was there.
Sinbad was there.
Yeah.
Just stop right there. That's incredible. You got the bad there. How did you get the bad there?
He gave away the award for stupidest statement, and he was great.
That's amazing, Albert Nuremberg. More reason for people to go see Stupidity.
Well, here's another reason that I should have mentioned, which is that we actually got the award. Of course, the President of the United States, George Bush, cleaned up at the awards. He won Stupidest Man of the Year, Stupidest Statement of the Year, and Stupidest Government of the Year. So, but we've got his award. His award for Stupidest Man of the Year is actually on display at the Van East Cinema all week. So if you want to go, you can't get too close to it. But if you want to go just look at it, it's there for you to see.
At the Van East Cinema, just like the movie Stupidity is. Stupidity starring Noam Chomsky, Rick Mercer, Salma Hayek, and you, Albert Nuremberg!
Yeah.
And now, Salma Hayek, does she know that she's top billed in this movie?
I don't know. You know, she's there. She's pretty funny.
Did you have to get any consent because it's Stupidity starring Noam Chomsky, Rick Mercer, Salma Hayek, and you, Albert Nuremberg?
Yeah, she's good. Noam Chomsky's great in it. Rick Mercer's good in it.
But, I mean, just on the marquee there, Noam Chomsky, Rick Mercer, Salma Hayek. I mean, you're there with a few legends there, Albert.
It says that on the marquee of the theater?
That's what it says, right out front. Noam Chomsky, well, maybe not. But Noam Chomsky, Rick Mercer, Salma Hayek, and Albert Nuremberg. Stupidity opening tonight at the Van East Cinema. But this is not your first venture into stupidity investigations, as you've kind of alluded to. I first heard of you years ago, well, not that many years ago, well, maybe see like 10 years ago, when you were on the CBC show Real Time. Do you remember that show, Real Time, on the CBC?
I believe it was called Big Life.
No, it was a radio show, Real Time, and you were a guest because you were putting together a documentary called Invasion of the Beer People.
That's right. I've almost forgotten, but yes, that's a documentary about how Molson's brought Metallica and Hole to a remote Arctic village.
Let's not forget, though, the full lineup. Metallica,
yep.
Hole, Veruca Salt, and Moist!
That's right.
And Moist! Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada's Moist. And Metallica got $1 million to play up there and took. And Hole got $500,000 to play.
Yeah.
They got all this money and they brought out. Well, maybe you could explain a bit about this because this is really almost stupid, isn't it?
I think it was stupid. What it was that they had that Molson's had an ad campaign where if you drink so many beers, I can't remember which one it is, you call in at the right time, you win a trip to the city of Pectoyatuck, which is essentially the end of the Mackenzie River Delta. And there they were going to have a concert, and they had this ad where they showed the concert even before the concert happened. I mean, they had somehow had created visuals of a concert that had not yet happened. And so then, anyway, a whole bunch of people won, and they were all jetted up to the Mackenzie Delta, to Tuktoyaktuk, where they all got drunk, of course.
And Tuktoyaktuk hadn't had too many gigs before, let alone Metallica, right?
Oh, they'd never seen anything like it. And the kids were almost, it blew their minds. The teenagers were very depressed afterwards because they knew that there would never be anything like this again. And it had no relation to logic or, accomplishment. There wasn't any meaning to it. It was just a giant concert that landed on their city. And also, a lot of the winners complained about the fact that, one of the arrangements was that they had to let the Inuit residents of the town attend the concert. So some of the people who won complained that they couldn't see because there were Inuit people in front of them.
What was the upshot from this whole thing? Because your documentary was incredible. I think it showed like on Rough Cuts or something like that on the CBC.
Yeah.
Are there copies still available of this? And what was the upshot? Like, what happened in the end? Did you get to speak to Courtney Love? What happened? Like,
Courtney Love tried to take my head off. What happened was that they had. It was unbelievable how controlled the situation was. It was as if an army had taken over the town. And they forbid cameras in certain locations. And so when Courtney Love's plane landed, she was drunk, or I think she was stoned, and but she was just obviously really drunk.
As we'd want her to be. As we would want her to be, yes.
And what I did is actually I snuck onto the tarmac. They weren't allowed to have cameras, but I was surrounded by a group of about 30 or 40 Inuit children. And I myself tried to impersonate an Inuit child quite badly. But so she didn't see me at first because I was with the kids, and then the kids kind of scattered, and so Courtney Love saw this guy with a camera standing on the tarmac, and she actually ran towards me and tried to hit me on the head with her purse. And at the last moment, she saw somebody closer who also had a camera, one of the kids, and she hit them instead.
Did this footage end up in a documentary?
Yeah, there's some slow-motion footage of her trying to hit people with her purse.
But then you talk a bit to Melissa Auftemar, because you being out of Montreal and all, you know, you must have some good connections with her.
Yeah, we had a big, long interview with Melissa Auftemar, who really sort of, like, talked about the absurdity of the situation. And
let's just go back for a second, in case people are just joining us. We're speaking here to Albert Nirnberg, whose movie Stupidity is opening tonight, 9:15 p.m. at the Vanny Cinema, playing for a whole bunch of days till September 2nd. His movie stars Noam Chomsky, Rick Mercer, Sam Hayek, and of course himself, Albert Nirnberg. But right now we're speaking about Invasion of the Beer People, and this is a thing you did about 10 years ago, I guess, for the CBC. And maybe you can just tell the people this quickly, in case you're just joining. I mean, how crazy is this again? Bringing all these people from all over North America to Tuktoyaktuk.
Yes, it was crazy, and a lot of people, was interesting, didn't even know where they were. Courtney Love couldn't pronounce the name of the town where she was. Metallica, I think, made a little more effort, but that's when I first learned. This is interesting. That's when I first learned that Metallica are a bunch of jerks, because I think, like a lot of people, I thought, like, their music's great, they're super talented. But their behavior in the town was terrible. They did a sound check at, that probably destroyed the local ecosystem, because they played at such high volume that I think there was probably, they couldn't find caribou in the area for, 1,000 miles. And they also just behaved, I think, very arrogantly in general. And it was funny because for me, part of the experience was I really became, I changed my view of, my former heavy metal heroes. Metallica, who I had thought were like a great band that sort of stood for something, and they've since proven that they're kind of big jerks as well.
Are there still copies of this documentary available? Where can one get a hold of it, Albert?
I've had a lot of requests for it. I mean, our company, the company that put out Stupidity, which is TrailerVision.com, does sell some previous docs, but we've thought about selling it, but right now we're not. But definitely think about it. I think we can handle individual requests, so if people request it, we look into it.
Albert Nirnberg, what was the reaction from Molson? Like, it was Molson that put on. What did they think about you filming this? Were they mad that you'd misrepresent them at all? How did you get in there?
They didn't like it, and they had a whole bunch of sort of meathead security guards who we regularly kind of tussled with, and, I don't think they liked it. There was no crimes committed. It was just classic obnoxious marketing.
But didn't you have to go through them to get up there, or did you just show up? Like,
no.
Wouldn't have Molson vetoed the whole thing if they knew you were making a documentary that might make fun of them or might make them look stupid?
Exactly. Well, interesting you say that, but what it was we were the only, as I knew, independent crew up there. What they did do is they flew up their own kind of media plane of people who just wanted to go on the junket, and so there were other reporters, but they came up like the day before, and they left the day after, and they basically went on a kind of Molson's, party where they drank and had a great time. And so I don't think they saw very much of the overall context of the event.
Well, what was the reaction from Molson? I mean, why did they let you go up there at all?
Like, they couldn't stop us, simply because that city is, it's a Canadian city. It's not, unfortunately for Molson, it wasn't like the private property of Molson's Corporation. But, they couldn't stop us from going to the city. They did try to keep us out of the venues. But we usually managed to get in one way or the other, literally sneaking in, or we got some of the younger Inuit men to actually carry cameras in for us.
Albert Nirnberg, what about Veruca Salt and Moist? Moist, what did they think about the whole thing?
I never talked to Veruca Salt. I thought Moist was kind of aware that this was kind of a weird event. They're smart guys, and they were interesting, and they seemed a bit torn. You know, I think that when you're an artist, as you probably know, is that you take your gigs, and it's great to get to get booked into places, and sometimes you don't realize until it's too late that maybe it's, you know, a bit of a mistake. But they seemed to really be away, and they wanted to meet the locals, and they were good guys about it. I thought, Vukasol, I never even saw. I didn't see them, period.
Albert Nirnberg, director of Stupidity, playing tonight at the Vanny Cinna, and for a cool couple more days till September 2nd, Stupidity starring Noam Chomsky, Rick Mercer, Salma Hayek, and Albert Nirnberg. Movies, you kind of pioneered a thing called Activision. Well, I'm calling it Activision because I dislike Coleco Activision, which kind of what you did, what you were describing there about doing that Molson thing, where you just kind of parachute people in. I love that. That sort of theater schmeater. What's that all about? Can you explain that to the people at all, Albert? Just like you parachuting people into these situations and then making a movie when it's actually happening.
Yeah, we did. We've done a bunch of these. The first one we did was called It's a Riot. And what we did is we went to, there was a series of riots that took place at the Summit of Americas in Quebec City. That's almost 2.5 years ago. What we did is we went there with a group of improv actors. And then in the middle of the rioting, we found that we were able to insert sort of like comedic scenes. So one... we created a love story between a woman and a riot cop.
Now, when you're doing this, do you get any flack from any of the protesters? Well, aside flack from, I guess, all the weapons being charged off there, but, I mean, discharged. But how about, like, this from the protesters? Because are you making fun of the protesters by, you know, putting this up there? What was the reaction from some of the protesters? Like, were they just like, get out of my way? What are you doing here? Or did they have no idea what was going on?
Generally, they have no idea what's going on, but... we have had trouble, but it depends on the place. We did this thing on a large scale twice, once in Calgary and once in Quebec City. In Quebec City, they really didn't care. I think it's because once the riot's going, it's just like a circus. You know, there's nobody has time to really moralize. But in Calgary, there we had a lot of people who really thought that we were, you know, making fun of them. And the left in Calgary takes itself way too seriously. And so there we had some trouble, literally like physical confrontations with some of the activists. And it was, you know, it's weird because when you're doing what we're doing, it's sort of like you're in between everyone because it's not like the cops are on our side. It's not like the activists aren't necessarily on our side. We're kind of in the middle.
Was that the Kananaskis thing?
Yeah, we shot another a short film called The Weatherman, which is about a weatherman who basically gets sent to the G8 summit to cool off when he starts to notice that climate change. And so the whole story is about him getting lost, actually, in the Rocky Mountains. But before he does, he gets pepper sprayed by the cops. So we actually used the real cops to pepper spray him. Though they didn't actually pepper spray him, we faked it, but it certainly looks like it. And then he literally fell down a hill in front of a line of cops. It's a really funny scene.
And all these movies are available at trailervision.com?
Weatherman is actually just coming out. It's the premiere is at the Calgary Film Festival in October. But It's a Riot is available through Trailervision. You can just get it on the website, trailervision.com.
And what's Theater Schmeater? What's that?
That was an improv troupe. I'm amazed that you know this, remember this, but that was the first improv troupe I was ever in, and this is in Montreal maybe 12 years ago. And it was, you know, this is like the first wave, I think, of... we were around at the same time as Kids in the Hall started, and it was the first wave of kind of Canadian improv. And then people say, you know, Theater Schmeater turned into Trailervision, but it's just, there's completely different people, but some of the same philosophy is there.
And you are Albert Nirnberg, whose movie Stupidity is playing tonight at the Van E Cinema, and a whole bunch of more days until September 2nd. Stupidity stars Noam Chomsky, Rick Mercer, Sam Hayek, and of course Albert Nirnberg, who we're speaking to live here on the Nardwuar Human Serviette Radio Show, 822-2487 UBC-CITR. If anybody has any questions at all for Albert Nirnberg, director of Stupidity. Before I move quite more into discussion about the Stupidity, I wanted to ask you about being a movie star in film fests and stuff since they're coming up. You did something at the Toronto Film Fest that was kind of interesting. Maybe you could explain a bit about that, please, Albert. How to be a movie star. How can someone be a movie star at a big festival?
This is a funny story. What it was about 3 years ago, you know, if anyone's been to the Toronto International Film Festival, it's become a star fest, which is, it's all about, the press coverage reflects this, who are the big stars that are coming to the festival. And when that really hit about 3 years ago, they had a poster which featured young people running after what looked like a movie star. And we were kind of offended because we thought, you know, the point of this was saying, you know, the reason to go to the film festival is because you might see a movie star. And And I found that idea a little bit offensive, and we thought it kind of gave me an idea, which is that the festival was so obsessed with stars, we tried to turn it on its head. What we did is we got a group of actors together, and we dressed them up like movie stars, which isn't very hard. You know, you give them sunglasses and a pair of jeans, more or less. And then what we did is we hired a limousine, and we went to the biggest opening gala at the opening of the Toronto International Film Festival, and we had a group of actors as fake paparazzi in the audience. So when our fake stars arrived in the limousine, we had them yelling their names. So in this case, the star's name was Lance Bannon. So we had all these people yelling, "Oh my God, it's Lance Bannon!" And the paparazzi think, "Oh, this is like Lance Bannon is here," and they start taking pictures. And the security people got worried that Lance Bannon was being irritated by his fans, so they grabbed him and four or five other people that are with him in his entourage and rushed him into the green room with Alec Baldwin and Bob Hoskins and a bunch of real movie stars. And so he spent they spent the evening getting drunk and eating canapé sandwiches with actual movie stars.
And were you guys filming this at that time?
And we filmed the whole thing, yeah. It was all filmed from the outside and a part of it inside as well. And we actually did it twice. And the idea was to demonstrate that really, you know, that movie stardom is not a real quality, that anyone, in a sense, give them the attributes of a movie star, let them walk down a red carpet, have people take pictures of them, people shout their names, they'll seem like a movie star, like these fake movie stars did.
Caller, are you there?
Yeah.
Go ahead to Albert.
All right. Hey, Albert, I saw your film, last summer at the Gimli Film Festival, which was really good.
Near Winnipeg?
Yeah.
What film? Was that the Stupidity one?
Yeah, it was Stupidity.
How would you encapsulate that for the listeners of the Nardwuar to Human Serviette radio show caller?
How would I encapsulate it?
Yes.
I'd have to say it was quite well done. It played on a lot of pop culture that's going on in, our society and how stupid it is, and it really played on that quite well.
Well, it's good that you enjoyed it, because you got some bad reviews, Albert, like Liam Lacey of the Globe and Mail. Why did he not like it, Albert? Why did Liam Lacey not like Stupidity, which is playing tonight for you to like or not like at the Van East at 9:15 and all the way till September 2nd?
I'm glad you asked that question, because it's a good point. Well, the movie generally has had very good and some very bad reviews. It tends to have produce violent feelings. So for example, there's a great review in the Vancouver Sun today. There's a great one in the Georgia Strait. So there's some really good reviews. But one of the problems with it is it's cut in a way that's very fast-paced. And if you don't like this kind of fast editing, it can be kind of irritating. And so one of the reasons that some people haven't liked it is that. The other reason is that I find that what we call, for lack of a better term, art sissies, sometimes don't like it, which is that people that are overly intellectual, who really praise a super intellectual style of aesthetic, resent this film sort of coming along and suggesting very briefly that there's very little to admire in what our intellectuals are up to these days. And among other things. So it can rub people the wrong way. But
the film kind of gives you a definition of what stupidity is, and it plays on that intellectual role, though, a little bit, I find.
Yeah.
But I just, my main question was, I was wondering if you got any flack from the States at all for ragging on George Bush a lot at the end of the film.
So say that again, if I got any flack from who?
From the States, like from, publicity from, the government at all, if that's like, if you had any problems getting his kind of...
Yeah, because I actually was wondering about that, too. Like, what has been the reaction from the American media? Like, you, a Canadian, going in and ragging on the President of the United States of America. I think there was an interview with you on, like, one of those Pacifica radios or one of those stations. And the host, it seemed like it was a really cool show, but the host almost seemed, like, standoffish. Even though maybe it was a left-leaning show, they were still kind of like, well, you're a Canadian criticizing our president?
Yeah, I know. Well, I had some amazing experiences because... Well, this is the amazing thing. If you look at the film, it's played in Austin, Texas. It's played in San Francisco. It's played in Portland. In Portland, Oregon, it opened for a week and it held over for 6 weeks. In San Francisco, 1 week, held over for 8 weeks. And so Americans love it. Obviously, that's it's more common on the state of the United States. But yes, there's been some negative, and something I should point out too is that Stupidity came out like in the East Coast like over a year ago, so it was actually the first film that came out and said, that really took aim at Bush. You know, now it's a little more fashionable, but when we started, it wasn't. But I did have some grief from Fox News because when Fox News, when Bush first got called a moron, I was in a Canadian paper saying, you know, actually providing the actual definition of what a moron was. And I said that actually the president could be a moron according to the definition. And so I ended up on Fox News where they actually put my quote up on screen saying, you know, the president of the United States may be a moron. And so that was pretty contentious. But I didn't find them really that hard on me. I just said, you know, that I said that according to the definition he could be. And do I think he's one? No, but I do think he's pretending to be stupid is what I said.
Caller, any other questions?
No, that's great. Thank you so much.
Well, thanks, caller, and
doot-doot-a-loot-doo.
And you're still listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, the Nardwuar to Human Serviette Radio Show, and we're speaking here to Albert Nirenberg, Director of Stupidity, starring Noam Chomsky, Rick Mercer, Salma Hayek, and of course, Albert Nirenberg, opening tonight at the Van East Cinema, 9:15 p.m., running every night, 9:15 p.m. until September 2nd. If you have any questions for Albert, it's 822-2487, that's 604-UBC-CITR. What about your particular history, Albert? You mentioned you're from Montreal, Theater Schmieder. I saw that you were screwed over by a radio station, CKGM. What was the deal behind that? Were you a talk show host? What's the deal behind that?
That's so funny. It's a funny story, which is that there was a talk radio station in Montreal, and I was a talk radio host, which a reluctant one. It wasn't my idea. They called me up and they wanted me to do it. But what happened was they had a morning show that was essentially a flop, and our show, which was an afternoon show, actually did quite well. And as I remember, basically what happened was everyone who was in all the money was being given to the morning show guy, who was a disaster, and then they essentially closed the radio station down, early on, based on this one guy who was no good, and that the rest of us, it wasn't just me, sort of got screwed. It wasn't a big deal, really. It was funny.
Being out of Montreal, it seems to be very handy. Well, I guess now you're in Toronto, but very, very handy. Like the Just for Laughs Festival and stuff. You mentioned Sinbad. You also did some stuff with Triumph the Insult Dog, or weren't you at least on a panel with Triumph the Insult Dog?
No, what it was that Robert Schmeigel, who is Triumph the Insult Dog, and I were both, 1 year, the Just for Laughs Festival had a, whatchamacallit, what do they call them, they do a recognition of a retrospective. So he had a retrospective and I had a retrospective back to back. So we actually were on the same stage briefly, but I met him and he's a delightful guy.
Were you able to translate any of these celebrity encounters into any distribution? Because I'm sure if there's any filmmakers out there, they must be kind of this frothing and watering when you're saying, you know, it was held over for like 2 weeks, my movie Stupidity in Portland. It did very well in San Francisco.
Sorry, 8 weeks in San Francisco, 6 weeks in Portland. I'm sure it's going to hold over in Vancouver, too.
But how did you get USA distribution? Like, how did you get distribution?
Okay.
Who's distributing it right now? If anybody's listening, how hard is it to get? And has anybody ever helped you, or have you just had to do it all by yourself?
No, that's a great question. And I'm really glad you asked that because, I should explain that I'm going to be back in Vancouver at the Vancouver International Film Festival. They're having a panel on that exact issue, and I'll be there with other people. Now, what was interesting about it is that we essentially self-distributed. What happened was when the film came out at Hot Docs, it did very well, and we started just getting calls from people. And then we made an interesting mistake, which is that we let the film play in Toronto and Montreal. We just made the deals ourselves with local theaters, and it played for the same thing, like 5 or 6 weeks in Montreal, quite a while in Toronto. Then we tried to get commercial distribution in Canada. Distributors more or less told us to fuck off. They said, we won't take on a film that's already played in Montreal and Toronto, which are the main markets. So we found it was very difficult. We thought, okay, well, why don't we just do it ourselves, where we can have some control and you make a lot more money. If you work with a distributor, not only do you get a small percentage, but you sometimes don't see the money for a very long time. So I really recommend, and what's interesting about this is that this was not possible before, which is that now, thanks to digital video projection in many Canadian theaters, you don't need a big budget or a lot of leverage to get into a lot of these theaters. You can play the Bloor Cinema in Toronto, you can play the Cinéma du Parc in Montreal, and you can make money there, provided you have a good film. or a film that, you know, is interesting to people.
Does that translate into United States of America? Like, how about going into United States of America? Is it a game DIY on the road doing it, or how are you doing it down there?
Well, what happened was, it's a funny story. The guy who runs the Cinema at Park, which is the most successful, apparently, repertory cinema in North America, saw the numbers that Stupidity was doing.
Where is that place?
That's in Montreal.
Okay.
The New Theater in Montreal. Anyways, he saw the numbers that Stupidity was doing, and he personally took on U.S. distribution and has sort of done a sort of patchwork quilt. And what we've done a little bit is we've avoided the obvious places where we're going to die, like Houston or Florida. But other than that, we're playing in a bunch of American cities, and we find that it really does well in the heartland, small towns. We played at the town of Columbus. We're playing Madison, Wisconsin, like little places. It often does really well there.
Has there been any bad reaction, though, to the film? Have you encountered any, you know, real mean reaction from reviewers and stuff that are mad you're making fun of the president?
I found that very rare. You know, what more that people get us on you know, on the technical issues, which is that there are flaws in the film, which I am aware of. And one thing that's really upset me as a filmmaker, which is that this film was made on a relatively small budget, about $150,000, and Stupidity is an enormous topic, a massive subject. You know, essentially it's the, you know, possibly the inverse of intelligence. And so I was always upset at the people that funded the film that they wouldn't give me more money, because a little more money would have made a huge difference, and that I could have done so much more, in my opinion. So that was one of my beefs. Now,
who did fund the film? Was that like the Arts and Entertainment Network? Who was that?
It was the Documentary Channel and CBC News World were the two first funders, but then Telefilm came in, Canadian Television Fund, a few things.
Just out of curiosity, you didn't quite get the funding that you wanted. Who did get the funding that they wanted? Like, who got the funding instead of you? Like, who's the enemy?
Well, no, I can't say there's a clear enemy, but I can say that there's a lot of films that are made, like what's Men with Brooms and, these huge monsters that Alliance puts out, that $5 million, $7 million gets plowed into these films. A lot of it is Telefilm money, and that is an example of, a badly misspent money. So there's the enemy, in my opinion. That's one of the enemies, like foolproof. Foolproof is the enemy. If you want a more direct answer. But sorry, to answer your question, generally speaking, reviews have been very positive, and when people get pissed off, it's more about this issue of the thing being too fast-paced, which isn't a real issue, is an issue with the film, but that's why I recommend people not to sit really close. But a lot of people love that aspect of it, too. You know, it tends to do well with a younger audience for obvious reasons.
And you are Albert Nirnberg, director of Stupidity, opening tonight at the Van E Cinema, 9:15 p.m., and playing for a whole bunch of more couple days till September 2nd. Stupidity stars Noam Chomsky, Rick Mercer, Selmayr, and of course Albert Nirnberg. Albert Nirnberg, you mentioned there's only a few books. There's only like 7 academic books on Stupidity. Are you the Stupidity expert? Because I understand there is some competition to you. There's James Wells. Your competition is in jail. What can you say about him? Who is he, and why is he in jail, and are you going to end up in jail? This is what happens to stupidity experts. And
exactly. I don't want to be a stupidity expert, but it's true. He's not in jail, but he did get in trouble. James Wells wrote a series of books about stupidity, and he is calls himself a stupidity expert, and he actually was charged with online child solicitation, where basically he was on an internet chat group with a girl he thought was 15 years old, and he went to meet her potentially for a liaison, and it turned out to be a police officer, and so he was charged, and I'm not sure where his case is at.
Sounds like stupidity studying is kind of a scary business. Please be careful, Albert.
I agree. I think it is a scary business. It is, and one thing I should make clear from the beginning is that a lot of people who do study stupidity suggest that maybe they're studying because they're not. But I myself, in looking at the rules or the causes of stupidity, I determined that almost every cause or rule of stupidity applied directly to me. I'm actually quite a stupid person, and I'm now much more comfortable with that, having made this film, because I'm more comfortable with my stupidity.
And you're ready to jump aboard a bandwagon because you believe that stupidity does sell, right? Stupidity sells. That's kind of the hypothesis of the film, right?
Yes, it is the hypothesis of the film, and it's been our experience. I mean, that's what I was saying about the, you know, we largely have done this, you know, distributed the film with the money that the film made. And I'm not saying it's made millions, but it's done exceedingly well in specific markets to everyone's amazement. Every time we walk into a theater, they're like, well, we'll book it for 5 days or 3 days. It ends up staying there for 2 months. So it's always funny when that happens. And I always, you know, I'm always surprised at people's reactions and their closed-mindedness sometimes.
Albert Nirnberg, I like Kangaroo Jack. Is that stupid? Is it stupid?
Well, it's funny because that movie was nominated, I think was named the stupidest movie of the year last year. This year, you may be interested to know that The Passion of the Christ and what was it? And Gigli tied for stupidest movie of the year.
But isn't Kangaroo Jack? I mean, I love the Jack. I love the Jack. Is it stupid?
Yes, it probably is stupid. But you see, one thing that we discovered about stupidity is stupidity is not necessarily bad. That's why Steve-O is such a success. That's why Adam Sandler is huge. Is because stupidity isn't necessarily bad. It's fun. And it's subversive, and it's interesting.
And is that why some people probably will end up voting for George Bush, because he's stupid and fun, where Kerry is kind of this lifeless?
Well, yes, and my argument with Bush, and this is the movie suggests this too, is I don't think that Bush is, like, in terms of what his brain, Bush is not stupid, but he definitely traffics in ignorance. He's playing on your stupidity. He isn't necessarily stupid. And that's really what's disgusting and horrific about him, is that he really perpetrates ignorance and stupidity. And but sometimes when you call him stupid, it kind of backfires, because he wins the war or he does whatever he does. It doesn't always work to your advantage. But he is an amazing example of a celebration of ignorance, Bush.
Who invented the dunce cap? Who invented the dunce cap, Albert Nirnberg?
By the way, I got to tell you, you're asking great questions. These are all fantastic questions. Well, anyways, that's a great mystery. The dunce cap was actually invented by... Nobody knows who invented it. It's based on a fellow named John Duns Scotus, who was a Scottish philosopher in the 13th century and was considered widely to be a genius. He was a very, very smart man, and he was famous for having a very exact and irritating form of logic. And one theory was that the people that came after him would kind of make fun of people that had a similar picayune, fussy logic, and they would call them dunces. And then later, somehow, that turned into the dunce cap. Now, the irony is, a dunce was a genius, and the dunce cap is supposed to symbolize stupidity.
How about the term moron? That was invented in Vineland, New Jersey?
Yes.
Moron was actually invented in New Jersey.
That's right. Well, it's interesting that, to me, this is one of the shocking things, and it's in the film. What the film is about is that people don't realize that some of our most common insults, idiot, imbecile, moron, all come from the standard American IQ test. That idiot and imbecile were the lowest rating you could get on the original French IQ test. So if your IQ was 0 to 25, you're an idiot. If you're 25 to 50, you're an imbecile. But then when the IQ test was translated to English, they added one new category, and that was for IQs of 25. Sorry, I'll take that again. IQs of 50 to 75, and that would be a moron. Now, the guy who invented the word moron was very well intentioned. His idea was that he was training mentally retarded children, and he felt that some of the children could actually be trained to work in society, could take jobs, could be socialized, and so he wanted a new term. Rather than call these people imbeciles or idiots, he called them morons. And so originally, a moron was actually a compliment. It was a promotion, so to speak. And it's only later that it became an insult. And one theory was that it became an insult because when people were when immigrants came through Ellis Island, they would be IQ tested. And if you tested as a moron, they would deport you. So it became associated with a very negative thing.
And you are Albert Nirnberg, director of Stupidity, opening tonight at the Van East Cinema. It's a movie starring Noam Chomsky, Rick Mercer, Salma Hayek. I should say, how much does Noam Chomsky, Rick Mercer, Salma Hayek, and yourself appear in this movie?
I appear only slightly, just as a moron myself. I play a moron in the film, but But Noam Chomsky, you know, quite considerably, though they're quick clips. Rick Mercer has some very interesting points. Selma Hayek is sort of a specific scene where we ask her about what it's like to wear a monobrow. So, you know, there's different kinds of play, I would say.
Did you have to get her to sign a release form for that, or did you just go for it?
This is a really good question. In the case of Selma Hayek, we didn't. Almost everybody else, Noam Chomsky, and in this case, you kind of make a decision to go for it, that, you know, we didn't misportray her, and it was a relevant question, and so, you know, and we aren't commercially advertising her, we just say that she appears in the film.
Are you afraid that maybe some fan of stupidity might go into, like, the internet movie database and add some information, kind of like, guys, you're missing Salma Hayek did one other movie that's not listed in her discography, movieography, or filmography. It's stupidity! And then maybe her agent, through having the platinum edition of the internet movie database, would find that out, and then you'll get a call.
Interesting. I never thought about it. You know, I think it happens to people all the time, and you know, it's interesting that, though I do believe that you should be very careful in making your films and you should be careful about being accurate and get permission, I think that with public figures, you have a certain right. These people are everywhere and their faces affect you and that you sort of have a right. And we actually tried in the case of Selma Hayek, but we decided, you know, that it was very difficult to do and we just decided to take our chances.
I think we have another caller. Caller, are you there?
No, I'm not sure.
Go ahead to Albert Nürnberg, Hans Klaus.
Listen, my phone is my breakup, so I really apologize. For some reason, I think I should have seen like 9 or almost a year ago on what was this, Independent Channel or documentary. Well, why is this now at the theater?
Oh, that's a good point, actually. Yeah, there is a version of the film that plays in the documentary channel, but the documentary channel has a very, very small viewership. It's on digital cable. And it's sort of an interesting thing. You know, the documentary channel put up money for this film, and what's interesting is that you can run something on the documentary channel, and you can still distribute it theatrically. But I should say that the version that's showing here in Vancouver is very different. It's the director's cut. It's much wilder. It has a whole section on Steve-O. There's a huge riot that takes place in the film that took place in Montreal that's not in the documentary channel version, so it's really the much wilder version.
I'm glad you brought that up, Hans Klaus, because actually I remember at the Film Fest last year, they had that Henry Kissinger movie, I forget what it was called, but like it actually aired on TV the night before I went and I actually saw it at the Film Fest. That was kind of maddening.
Well, I remember the Corporation, I don't know if this was the case in here, but in the Corporation was playing on TV, on TVO, which is a big channel, it's available everywhere in Ontario, and at the same time it was in theaters. I guess it just, you know, from the filmmaker's point of view, it's great that you can do this. And it's actually, for us, we were amazed by this because it used to be that if you do have the show, if you have it on television, you can't show it in theaters. But I think the rule is, if you have it on digital cable, you can show it in theaters because digital cable is quite rare.
Any other questions, Hans Klaus?
Nadal, I have to correct you first. It's not Klaus. How many years we know each other? It's Klaus.
I'm sorry about that.
Well, I know you are sorry. Listen, what is the? There's the one thing about Adam Sandler there. I know. All the politicians are stupid. You know, that's a given. But Adam Sandler, he just make a point that he's making career out of being stupid, or pretending to be one. And I've seen one of the film with him. I forgot what it was the title. He was playing this kind of warehouse guy, and he was brilliant there. And apparently, he's actually pretending to be stupid all life.
Well, I think so too. I mean, I saw Adam Sandler interviewed. I've seen a lot of his movies, and I think that Adam Sandler is a comic genius, and I think he is very, very smart. And he is a great example of somebody pretending to be stupid to succeed. And you know, Tom Green is another one. Tom Green is a genius. Some might make the same argument about Nardwar. You know, a lot of these people are.
Well, Nardwar is a genius. We all know that.
Thank you, Hans. Thank you, Hans.
Well, you can read it if you like.
Hans Klaus?
Klaus? one more question.
Go ahead, Hans. Are you still there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Listen, Bush, you know, did you limit yourself, or that was the pressure from documentary or CBC? Because for some reason, in the beginning, I suggest you make a big case of Bush being, you know, ironic, and then all of a sudden you just drop this topic all of a sudden later in the movie.
I didn't hear everything you said, but I'm guessing.
Can you repeat that one more time, Hans?
Okay, well, it's just in the beginning of the film, there is a big case about Bush being, you know, a little retarded, which it's like a common knowledge. But then all of a sudden, like you're dropping this topic after 15 minutes. It's just, you're going somewhere else. It's just that was the pressure of people who were paying for it. That was you limited yourself.
That's a good question. I wouldn't. There was a bunch of factors, but I think what we were trying to do with the film was connect the kind of frat boy stupidity or jackass. I mean, a big part of this film is about, you know, the jackass phenomena. And so we were trying to connect kind of frat boy, jackass phenomena, Adam Sandler, to a culture that, you know, that loves stupidity and is best exemplified by the President of the United States.
Yeah.
And so we wanted to show, connect the dots, the connection. But to answer your question, yes, when I was making the film, I remember thinking somebody should get all the stupid things that Bush has ever said and put them together in a movie, and people will love that, and it will be a great film. And I just, in this case, simply could not afford it. That you know, you pay, to give you an idea, for television, you pay $25 a second, you know, for clips of Bush. $25 a second U.S. So it racks up very quickly. So, you know, we have some Bush, and we have some, and right now we have a lot more, actually, because we bought some more, but we don't have a huge amount. And I still think somebody should make that film, preferably before the election, where with a bit of money, they actually go out and get every stupid thing this guy has said and put it into a film. It'll be so funny, and people will love it.
I guess that's what Michael Moore is trying to do, because he had quite a few clips of Bush doing those types of things, and people have said that Bush is the star of Michael Moore's movie.
Yeah, but Bush isn't, I mean, he is in there, but he isn't even in there that much, and there's even a whole bunch of dumb things he said that he didn't even use. Like, we had similar things. There are some similarities, but not very much. But there are some things that he missed, and so there is still more.
Hans, any other questions?
Yeah, maybe last one. The only problem I have with this is just, you know, people with limited brain, let's put it this way, like Bush, you know, are capable of actually killing thousands of people at the same time, and that's not really funny.
No, I mean, I
don't know if you caught enough this idea in your film. I think you didn't.
Sorry, it's not funny that he's killing people, or this, that stupidity is deadly, because the film comes right out and says, you know, Bush could precipitate World War III. That's how dangerous and stupid he is. And so,
it could be deadly. That's what I mean.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, I think a lot of this film leaves it to your interpretation. I think that, you know, people can figure that out for themselves, that World War III would probably be not good for their health.
Hans, are you saying that stupidity is too serious to make a film about? Is that basically what you're saying?
No, it's way too serious to treat it light. You know, it's very dangerous. It's actually the most dangerous thing there is stupidity, because it just leads to all those ridiculous things. You know, whenever you go to church, for example, when you comes to religion, you have, for example, 1,500 people, you know, at one given time, you know, meeting in one room every Sunday, talking the same thing over and over for 50 years, whatever their lifespan is. That's stupid in the first place, but it goes on for 2,000 years, and you know how many people died in the name of it?
Have you encountered this at all before, Albert, where stupidity is almost too serious to make fun of?
Yes. I find that a lot of people react that way to this film, and that they're like, oh my, I mean, you know, how strange, a film about stupidity. In fact, why wouldn't you make a film about stupidity? That's the amazing thing. And, the only thing I would say to this is that, sadly, maybe, or shockingly, this is the first film that deals directly with stupidity, and I hope it is not the last. I have no pretense that this is the last word on stupidity. It's definitely not. In fact, I just see it as a sort of opening salvo. It opens up some of the questions. There are so many issues. Like, for example, Hans just touched on probably the number one cause, I believe, of stupidity among intelligent people is belief systems, which is everybody needs, essentially, you know, a belief system to function. They have to know which way is up and which way is down.
Well, not everybody. I don't need it.
You don't need to know which way is up and which way is down?
No, I got it myself.
Well, as long as you know the digits to phone into CITR, and you certainly do, Hans, 822-247-UBC-CITR. Anything else you want to add to the people out there at Al Hans?
They're asking me?
Yes.
Okay, sorry, I was picking up. No, I agree. It's a good thing. You're probably the first one who did this, and let's hope there will be many things to follow, and it's great. It's not that I have a problem with this. I just thought that was missing in this film, you know, religion. I don't know. I think that's where it comes from.
And that's a fair comment. I think you're right.
Somebody else. I let somebody else ask and then intelligent talk after me, so tutulututure.
No, it's Hans! Tutulutu!
Tutu.
All right, and you're still listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. And we're speaking to Albert Nirnberg, whose film Stupidity is opening tonight, 9:15 p.m. at the Van East. It's playing until September 2nd, 9:15 p.m. every night. Stupidity stars Noam Chomsky, Rick Mercer, Salma Hayek, and Albert Nirnberg. And Albert, Trailer Vision, winding up here. Trailer Vision. What is Trailer Vision again? It's like teasers for bogus Hollywood blockbusters. Isn't it? You have a whole website. You make all these like previews. What is it all?
Yes, you described it pretty well. What we did, our idea was that we, you know, like a lot of people, we discovered that movie trailers are often. Sorry, it's just really loud where I am. I apologize, but movie trailers are more interesting than often the movies they advertise. And so, why make the movie? Our idea was that people actually love to see trailers, so we made a website entirely composed of. Generally fictional trailers for movies that don't exist. And many of them are spoofs of Hollywood movies, and some of them are more ideas of movies that could be, that should be. So we actually welcome submissions, so people can email us at trailervision.com. We're always, you know, our idea is to make 2-minute mini movies that people kind of around the world decompress. And about during the dot-com era, it became a huge thing. We were on CNN, and we did a bunch of trailers for DreamWorks. So it was a much bigger thing. And now the company still exists, and we actually are coming out with the best of Trailer Vision, which is called Why Can't I Be a Movie Star, which is going to have a launch at Van East, I think, in September.
So did any Hollywood people get fooled and actually think that they were real movies?
Well, we even have Hollywood people in some of our films, we often get emails from people saying they'd like to buy the movie, and we have to tell them, no, the movie doesn't exist. But we try to make it clear on the...
Wouldn't it be time to make the movie then, especially if you have dealings with DreamWorks? Like, what was it like getting a call from the Spielberg? That's pretty exciting. It's almost time to retire when you get a call from that guy.
I got to say it was weird. I mean, it was interesting to work for them. I did find them... they're essentially like working for anyone else. They're bureaucratic. You know, they had some interesting ideas. This is when, during the dot-com era, so they were really doing their best to be hip and cool, in a web sense. So it was an odd experience, I have to say.
What did you make for them? Can we watch it?
Yeah.
How much did you get paid?
Yeah. Okay, this is an interesting thing. Okay, well, we made a couple trailers that are on our website. One is called Mission Possible 3, MP3 for short. And another one is called Charlton's Angels, which is instead of Charlie's Angels, it was Charlton Heston's Angels. So it was a takeoff of Charlie's Angels. And those are on our website, but part of the website is pay, just to warn you, but part of it is free. So I think those trailers maybe pay. And the money, I actually, in the contract, they tell you you can't talk about the money, but it wasn't very good. It was enough to get it done, and there's a game they play in show business, which I'm learning not to play anymore, where they sort of say, look, we're giving you chicken feed right now, but the idea is that, you got your foot in the door, and next time it'll be real money. And what happens to you is that every deal starts being like that. Hey, you got your foot in the door, and then here's another foot in the door deal, and it's always bad money. So I've been learning not to do that anymore. It's not you know, the so-called foot-in-the-door deals are not that exciting.
How about the Space Channel? You think they'd be cool. Didn't they come hard down on you guys?
Yeah, this is funny. I think you've done, like, this full, amazing investigation of this. Well, what was interesting about Trailer Vision, and I think, you know, I'd love to do a documentary about gatekeepers. And by gatekeepers, what I mean is that I think there are people, especially in Canada, who are in positions of power who basically get, you know, nix or kill ideas in their infancy, and they know they can get away with it if it's an idea that bugs them or not their kind of thing or threatens them in any way. And this happens in literature, movies, film, music. You see it everywhere. Canada is a big gatekeeper problem. These are the people that run the networks. These are the people that run, you know, radio stations. And so what happened was when Trailer Vision was just out of the gate, there were some people, and I won't say where, but because there's a few networks involved, but there was one network in particular where they really tried to kill the idea. They sent us emails saying that they weren't going to broadcast it. They actually put out a thing in the paper that criticized the show. Like, can you imagine a network actually criticizing its own show to the newspapers? Anyway, so they did all these things that were amazing to us. And we thought, at first we thought, well, maybe it's because our show is crap. We couldn't figure it out. Anyways, next thing we know, one day I get a call from a friend and says, Albert, you're on CNN. And I was like, what's going on? Anyways, to make a long story short, CNN, you know, Discover's Trailer Vision sort of went berserk, and then Netscape did, and then MSN did, and then Yahoo did, and it went all around the world, and it became this worldwide thing. Now, this is interesting because a bunch of Canadians had told us, what you do is shit, you know, and then we had the world tell us the exact opposite. And I'm sure this is an experience that many Canadians go through, and it has a lot to do with the Canadian gatekeeper problem.
What specifically was Space Channel mad at? Like, why would Space Channel be mad at you?
Well, I think, you know, Trailer Vision is pretty racy, and we had done, like, I don't want to say a Space Channel, because it's not. Space Channel is great, and there's a lot of good people there. There was this sort of particular section that was starting out that was where we had a problem. So, anyways, what upset them, one of the things was that we had a trailer called Girls Rule, and it was a sci-fi trailer about, it's like, there's been a nuclear war, it's 30 years in the future, and now women run the world, and they run the world because they've decided that it's too dangerous for men to run it. In the film, there's gratuitous violence. There's gratuitous violence, women against men. Women beat up a bunch of men in a scene. And our idea was to, was to make it a satire of the sort of tolerance of gratuitous violence against women. Anyways, they said, we're not going to put it on. It has too much gratuitous violence. But we were like, wait a second. It's gratuitous violence against men. That's not a problem in our culture. Anyways, but you can never get that profound on people. We never had the argument about, okay, gratuitous violence against women is a social problem. Gratuitous violence against men generally isn't. You know, so to make a long story short, that was one of the beefs. It was just the main beef was that they acted as if what we had done was bad. It just wasn't good, wasn't funny, wasn't interesting. And we knew it was. And then what was amazing was to have the world chime in and say, we love this shit. And it was, for us, it was, you know, my main thought at that time was I thought about all the other people who had great ideas that were just a little bit out there, and we had somebody tell them, no, your idea sucks. You know, go home and die, more or less. And then they went and did that. And I always thought about all those people that just never got past the gate.
Was there any Canadians that did get past the gate? Didn't that guy Stephen Marshall get past the gate and end up on CNN and do, like, Guerrilla News? Do you know that guy?
Yeah, I know Stephen Marshall. Yeah, well, he's done okay, I guess. I don't want to make it sound like a disaster, but I'm just saying that is a phenomenon. Here's an interesting challenge. I'll even tell you this. When Stupidity first came out, and we were, it was going around to see who was interested in it, somebody sent a copy to the Pacific Cinematheque. This is a great story. Pacific Cinematheque sent us a letter back saying, in a kind of snobby way, this is not the kind of film that we play at Pacific Cinematheque. Meaning something like either, we're trying to figure out what that meant. Crappy, too commercial, what was it? Anyway, to make a long story short, the Moving Pictures Festival, which is playing Stupidity, rents the Pacific Cinematheque as one of its Vancouver venues. So they actually booked Stupidity in to the Pacific Cinematheque. What's funny is that night, I think something like 400 people show up at the Pacific Cinematheque. There's a huge lineup. They have to turn away half the crowd. And the staff at the Cinematheque, who like have no connection to this, say they've never seen anything like it. They've never had a show at the Cinematheque where they've had to turn away so many people, ever. Something along those lines.
You're a good pitchman. You really are a good pitchman. You've got me excited, Albert, about seeing Stupidity tonight at the Vanny Cinema, 9:15 p.m. Noam Chomsky, Rick Mercer, Salma Hayek, Albert Nuremberg. Okay, so go ahead, please, again. Back to the Cinematheque, yes?
Well, anyway, to me, I was shocked by this, and I thought this is an example of gatekeepers. If we had just taken, you know, the Cinematheque's word for it, meaning there really isn't any place for our film in, you know, in Vancouver, in the Vancouver independent community, you know, to show it, we would have just given up. And luckily we had the confidence in the previous experience to say, no, we're going to go, and we're going to show it. And so that's why we're here, in effect.
Maybe that's why Canadians end up doing so much, because if you're given everything, you don't want to do anything. Like, say they did give it to you, you wouldn't want to pitch it anywhere else. You'd just be happy showing your hometown forever and ever, right?
Well, it's interesting. It's interesting you say that. This just reminded me of that. The documentary we're doing now, which is called Escape to Canada, actually is all about Vancouver. It's about how Vancouver's pot laws are the future of Canada, and the tolerance for marijuana in Vancouver is an amazing phenomena. And anyways, in the course of doing this documentary, I interviewed a lot of people who are the big pot activists. And a lot of them, I asked a lot of these people, what turned you into a pot activist? And what's interesting is that almost to, you know, as a rule, they all said it was some experience with the police where either the police took away their marijuana or essentially did something bad to them as a result of them having marijuana on them, that turned them into a pot activist. And I was intrigued by it, because that's when you burn people for the wrong reasons, unjustly, it's interesting, they come back at you twice as hard. That's the message there.
Albert Nuremberg, winding up here, talking about Stupidity opening tonight at the Van East Cinema. You have this movie, Stupidity, and you have, like, this contest, you know, of the stupidest people in the world. You started with cool. Didn't you start with cool, like cool Canadians?
No, I was in a group, you know, when I was in Quebec, and I was really concerned about Canadian unity.
But come on, you started, you know, grouping together cool Canadians.
Yeah.
And I guess what I was wondering is, how do you think Stupidity will end up, like, you know, how will it be revered in, say, 20 or 10 years from now? Because looking at the list of cool Canadians, it's kind of interesting who you chose as cool Canadians back then and how they're regarded right now.
Who did we choose? I don't remember.
Well, my favorite one here is Boot Sauce. That's your number one cool Canadian. Now, you are the dude that did the movie Stupidity.
Yes.
So, what sort of track record is this? Can we trust you with the movie Stupidity if you're picking Boot Sauce as one of the coolest Canadians ever? And I'm talking right up there with Gowan and Lorne Green.
You see, I actually didn't, you know, to tell you the truth, I didn't compile that list. It was just the idea. I was with the group that had the idea, but that's interesting to me. I think at the time, Boot Sauce was cool. I don't know about Lorne Green or Gowan, but no, you know what? To answer your question, I think that, I don't see this film, I'm not trying to say this film is the most important film you can ever see. Definitely not. This film, I think it's entertaining. We run trailers before it that are entertaining. I think we wanted to prove it's done completely independently. We're not part of any outfit. There's not even essentially a distributor involved. So it's really straight from the filmmakers, and it's, you know, relatively low budget, and I think it's just meant to be comic and entertaining and open up this whole issue that stupidity has never been investigated. And I think on that level, I'm not worried about the film succeeding. It's definitely succeeded in the opening, that whole debate, you know, inspired the World Stupidity Awards. The Stupidity Awards will probably keep going, and I think it has succeeded in opening the debate. I have no pretension that it's the greatest documentary ever made. I don't consider myself, I'm more of a fiction director than I am a documentary filmmaker.
Looking back, when you look back at Stupidity, do you think in 10 years from now you're going to go, God, why did I put in there? That really wasn't too stupid. Like,
yes.
Boot Sauce, you put the Boot Sauce.
Yes.
It's cool. I mean, Gowan now is in Sticks, but Boot Sauce, I don't know. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, no, you're right. I can, even now I look back at it and I'm embarrassed about things that are in it. So I won't need 10 years. I'll need about another week.
Actually, I secretly love boot sauce. I'm happy to see it in there. And thank you so much for phoning into the Nardwuar to Human Serviette radio show here, Albert. We're going to give away some tickets in a moment to your film that's premiering tonight at the Vanny Cinema, 9:15 p.m. And the tickets will be for Tuesday's performance, 9:15 at the Vanny Cinema of Stupidity, starring Noam Chomsky, Rick Mercer, Salma Hayek, and Albert Nuremberg. And if anybody wants to win those, it's 822-2487 UBC-CITR for Tuesday at the Vanny's. Phone in. We'll take your number and put your name at the door. But anything else you want to add to the people out there at all, Albert, about Stupidity?
Yeah, just, you know, I encourage people to check it out. I think you have a good time. There's a lot of great movies out right now, and encourage other filmmakers too. I think that this is a huge topic, and I think this is just the beginning. So if you have, I really encourage other people to try to, you know, take on similar things. You know, what this film is essentially saying is that we can be much smarter than we are. And so I'd love to see some smart films.
And why should people care about Stupidity and Albert Nuremberg? Why should people care?
You know what, I think care is the wrong word. I think that, you know, what I think that the experience of our films is that we make films that really are entertaining, that affect people. And I just think that, you know, you should, you know, I wouldn't say you go because you're doing the right thing. That's a kind of earnest thing. Go because you're going to have fun with your friends, you know. That's why you should care.
And right now we're going to end with a song by The Beagle and the Four Liverpool Wigs. Last week on the Nardwuar to Human Serviette radio show, I played a whole bunch of Beatle-related records and an interview with Sean Lennon as well. Like, I was playing, like, really weird kind of versions of Beatles stuff. It's hard to be, like, you know, up there with Beatles fans because, you know, they know everything, don't they? Don't they? Don't they, Albert?
Yeah, Beatles they do. They know everything.
They know everything. They have every record. But when I got home, I realized I did not play this record. And right now, coming up, and this maybe is stupid or maybe is genius, but this possibly could be the worst version of I Want to Hold Your Hand ever. And what this record is, The Beagle and the Four Liverpool Wigs, is, I guess it's a record from the 60s where kids would see this, oh my God, it's the Beatles. They'd take it home and put it on, and it wasn't the Beatles, but it was cheaper than a Beatles record, so some company, Sutton Records, would make a lot of money. But this version of I Want to Hold Your Hand, like, it would probably make you cry if you heard it, if you were a kid when you took it home. Like, the poor kid totally got shafted. So I thought I would play that to end an Nardwuar to Human Serviette radio show today, because it is kind of stupid, but I think it is kind of amazing in the same fact there, Albert Nuremberg.
I'm looking forward to it.
All right, well, thanks for your time. Keep on rocking in the free world, and
you
too. Do-do-do-do-do.
Do-do.
over to the Royal Hudson. Let's hop aboard!